From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A major United Nations report has spelled out extremely bad news for life on Earth. The Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services has found that a million species are a threat of extinction and that the, quote, current global response is insufficient and transformative changes are needed to restore and protect nature. IPBES Chair Sir Robert Watson said, the health of ecosystems on which we and all other species depend is deteriorating more rapidly than ever. We are eroding the very foundations of our economies, livelihoods, food security, health, and quality of life worldwide. The report is the result of 145 experts from 50 different countries working over 3 years. We turn now to Noah Greenwald, Director of the Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. Welcome, Noah.
Thank you, Sonali.
So the headlines emerging from this report are pretty alarmist. And then if you actually look at the report, one can see why. What have your general impressions of this report been and what it's saying is happening?
Well, I think the report, does a great job of bringing information together from a lot of sources about something that, there's been awareness of for a long time now, which is that we're in an extinction crisis, that the rate of species extinctions is greatly accelerated. By some scientific studies, by as much as 1,000% over background. So, my reaction to the report is, I'm glad to see, what was it? It's 145 scientists from 50 countries that worked to prepare the report. And I'm glad to see the issue being given this kind of serious attention. Because to me, this is, one of the most serious problems we face as a species and as a people. And, it just doesn't see a lot of light of day. And so I'm glad to see it getting so much attention that the UN put this report out, that scientists from around the globe are coming together to raise the alarm bells. And so I'm grateful for the report, I would say.
So the body that put this report together, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, this to me is sort of like the UN version of the IPCC on climate, right? So this is that body that's kind of an international collaboration to examine a very important global crisis. We should be taking this as seriously when it comes to species endangerment as we do the IPCC climate report on climate change, right?
Exactly. I think that was very much the intent of the report, was to sort of give equal footing to the extinction crisis as we're giving to climate change at this point. And I think it's effectively done that.
So when we talk about extinction, we've heard definitely many times that the rate of species extinction is faster now than it has been before. But can you give us a little bit more detail on that? What does that actually mean? What species are we talking about? And why are they going extinct?
Right. So, over geologic time, species have always gone extinct, but it's been at a very low rate. And so scientists have actually taken the time to try and estimate that rate based on the fossil record and other sources of information, actually.
So a sort of natural rate of extinction?
Yeah, kind of a natural rate of extinction. And they've looked at what the extinction rate is now. And that's where that figure of 1,000 times background comes from, is that, the rate of extinctions is greatly accelerated. And the reason why that's happening is because we're degrading the environment. And it's, the same environment that these species depend on: clean water, clean air, a moderated climate, soils, all that stuff is all the stuff that we depend on. And as we degrade those things, as we pollute our rivers and streams, as we plow under or deforest areas or pave over, you know, we're degrading the quality of our own environment at some level. You know, that, and I think the report does a really good job of highlighting all of that. Essentially, you know, it's saying that ecosystems provide us services. They clean our water, they clean our air, they moderate our climate, they pollinate our crops, they break down, they cycle nutrients for us. You know, they do all these things that are incredibly important to our own survival. And as we degrade those ecosystems, which we know we're doing because we're losing so many species, you know, we're putting our own life support system at risk.
Is some of this simply having to do with how large the Earth's population is? I mean, the bigger our species takes, the bigger space our species takes up on the planet, the more drain we put on our system?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's in saying yes to that question, I just want to point out that, of course, consumption plays a big role in that as well. So, and Paul Ehrlich, the famous scientist and ecologist, actually came up with an equation for this, which factored in both consumption and population. But there's no question, you know, I'm 51. I was born in 1968. At that point, there was 3.5 billion people. Now there's more than 7 people. So just in my short lifetime, the human population has doubled. And that has consequences, and it's, you know, it's a drain on resources. It's hard on ourselves. You know, I think the figure that I've heard is roughly 1 billion people don't have enough food. You know, so it has a lot of consequences, and it's, you know, something certainly that we have to get a handle on. We can't just keep exponentially growing forever. We only have one planet, so that won't work. But consumption is important too. You know, I mean, if you look at something like greenhouse gases, the United States is, you know, up until recently was the biggest contributor. China has now surpassed that. Of course, China has 4 times more people than the U.S. So I mean that, you know, the U.S. has had an inordinate impact on ecosystems, you know, per capita. So that's an important part of it too, is to consider that there's some equity issues involved as well.
Absolutely. It's not, we don't impact the Earth equally. Species that we're talking about here, I mean, we're basically, I imagine that the scientists looked at all species, plant life, animal life, and then determined that their rate of extinction?
Yeah, they did a lot of things. I mean, one, they looked at our footprint. You know, if you look at the world, you know, and they determined that roughly 75% of the Earth's land mass now has been impacted by people and a great deal of the ocean as well. And so they're looking at rates of loss of habitats, and then they're looking at estimates of how many species are in those habitats to get at, you know, an estimate of how many species are at risk over time. So they came to a pretty sobering conclusion, which is that up to 1 million species are at risk, just in, and many of those in the short term. So it's, you know, it's quite alarming.
And of course, when a species is extinct, it's the end of the line. We're not talking about endangered, we're talking about extinct. There's a big difference. And of course, classifying a species as endangered can help save it from extinction. Here in the United States, we have the Endangered Species Act. That's what it's supposed to do. But is that a tool that is even adequate, even if we're just looking at what's happening in the United States?
Well, so the Endangered Species Act is, you know, an incredible law and an incredible tool. And in general, does work to save the species that are protected under it, which is, you know, over 1600 species at this point. I think what this report is getting at, though, is that we need something much more transformative if we're really going to save biological diversity and we're going to address the climate crisis, that we really need to transform how we do business. And I think that's absolutely right. You know, E.O. Wilson, the famed biodiversity scientist from Harvard, has started this organization called the Half Earth Project. And I do think, you know, something like that is in order. We need to do something like protect half the earth for nature. And that's what he's proposing. And we have to, you know, at this point, our, you know, economy and our governments are structured around, you know, essentially only the things that you can sell, that you can put value on and sell. And we don't put enough value on just nature itself, and because you can't sell it. And we have to change that way of looking at things.
Right. Our economic systems are premised on specific costs that we apply to things. And then there are a lot of costs that are simply taken for granted or assumed to be free, such as air and water and cleanliness of those and the impact on the environment, which in turn impacts species. It's not just a, you know, a hippy-dippy sounding idea that nature is important and we should protect it. Ultimately, we're talking about protecting ourselves as a species, right? I mean, aren't we as a species endangered too, to an extent?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's just hard to see how in, you know, a generation or two, if we've let a million species go extinct, how future generations look at that as anything but a tragedy and just pure selfishness on our part, you know? So I don't think that they look, that gets that will not go down in history well. And, you know, we owe it to future generations to do better than that.
Now, I understand that one of the things that the report addresses is the impact of our agricultural systems, right? And so the more people we have on the planet, the more we need to feed them. But also our industrial agricultural system is skewed in such a way that it is very impactful on our environment and very destructive to our environment. Isn't that a big area that needs to be addressed?
Our agricultural systems are certainly a big part of the problem. You know, our use of pesticides in particular, you know, one of the things that's concerning that's come out in this report and other studies is that we're seeing an overall decline in insect biomass. You know, insects are an important part of the food chain. Less insects means less birds. They also pollinate our crops. So it's very concerning to see that, you know. So for example, neonicotinoids are a class of pesticides that have really come into use since around the year 2000. You know, that's when they became in widespread use. And since that time, we've been seeing these bee declines that people are very concerned about and rightfully concerned about. So yes, absolutely. Reforming how we, how our agricultural systems work is just a critical part of getting a handle on this.
Well, and this goes back to what you were saying earlier, which is that nature and natural systems have a very efficient way of doing things that we benefit from, and that you can't really create technological alternatives to. If the bees go away, the efficiency at which bees pollinate crops, you can't come anywhere close to that with automation or hand pollination. You can't get back what you lose when you lose something like bees, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the European Union's banned the use of neonicotinoids, so it's, you know, it's the agricultural lobby in this country, you know, and the oil and gas industry, those two lobbies are, you know, some of the biggest lobbies in this country. And, you know, some of what they're asking for is just against the public interest and against the interest of future generations. And that's, you know, that's what we have to tackle, you know, and that's challenging, but we have to do it.
So the report finds that the, and I just want to quote from it, that the rate of global change in nature during the past 50 years is unprecedented in human history. What you were saying about the population doubling in just the last 50 or so years is something that happened concurrent with this change just in the past 50 years, which of course is just the tiniest fraction of existence of the human species. The last 50 years is, you know, of human species and certainly of life on Earth. And so these last 50 years have been tremendously destructive to nature. But this is a global problem, right? It's not just something that U.S. corporations and government or Chinese corporations and government are doing. This is something that is the result of destructive action all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a global problem. I think the U.S. is a leading country and one of the wealthiest countries, and one of the countries that's contributed most to, say, greenhouse gas emissions, has a greater responsibility to address this issue than other countries. But I agree with you; it is very much a global problem. In addition to our population growing, doubling in that period of time, World Wildlife Fund put out a study last year, and they looked at over 4,000 vertebrate species. And this is not just endangered species. They found that across the board, there'd been a 40% decline in wildlife. So since, roughly the early 1970s, 40% of all wildlife across the planet has disappeared. And that's under our plows. That's, raising forests to raise cows or soybeans. That's a whole host of problems. And, we have science, we have, these scientists who are understanding this, these problems are solvable. We just have to get to a place where we can make rational decisions that aren't based on just short-term economic interests.
I'm so glad you bring up the issue of the economy. I mean, in addition to the scientific knowledge we have, we also have traditional knowledge and indigenous knowledge. And that's another area that the report by the United Nations organization brings up, which is that nature managed by indigenous peoples and local communities is under increasing pressure, but that there is generally a less rapid decline on indigenous people's lands than in other lands. And so there's a threat of losing the knowledge of how to manage it. We do have ways of working with nature that indigenous communities have engaged in for thousands of years. That should help us form the basis of how to bring about these transformative changes that are needed, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think there's indigenous cultures. It's almost not as much about management as knowing how to live within nature in a way that, doesn't transform it, that retains more of what's already there. And that's absolutely where we need to go. We need to be able to live in a world where we give space to nature and we give space to wildlife.
The report does recommend, when it calls for transformative changes, saying that you can achieve these changes through sustainable pathways and actually making the right kinds of decision. But that requires a tremendous amount of cooperation, not just between governments, but even within governments. For example, here in the U.S., we have a huge sort of ideological battle that has played out and has supercharged just in the past 2 years with a deregulatory presidency in power, right? We don't even agree within the United States about how best to manage nature and to care for nature, because all we see in President Trump is deregulate and put corporate profits, privilege those ahead of our natural systems.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The Trump administration has been going 180 degrees in the wrong direction, seems to have the attitude of grab it while you can. That seems to be the whole Trump philosophy, and it's just incredibly unfortunate. They've been actively working to undermine our environmental laws, including the Endangered Species Act. There's proposed regs right now that we're expecting to be finalized any day that will severely weaken implementation of the Endangered Species Act, make it harder for species to get protection, and weaken those protections even when they do get it.
And so here in the U.S., we have this battle playing out, but there is, of course, also pushback and there's activism. The recent climate-related protests, perhaps aptly named Extinction Rebellion, or the group is named Extinction Rebellion in the U.K. and also in cities around the United States, have been pushing back as well and drawing attention to the global climate catastrophe. So turning to the issue of climate change, of course, is also an outcome of the same threats that species are facing, but is also in turn driving species extinction, right? This is a big part of the conversation around species extinction.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Species extinction is one of the most concerning impacts of climate change. And you're absolutely right. You know, the same things, you know, deforestation, for example, you know, is a big cause of extinction, particularly in the Amazon or in Indonesia. And it also is a major source of emissions. You know, when you clear a forest, you know, there's a huge amount of carbon stored there. And much of that gets released when you clear the forest. So it's a cause of global warming. It's a cause of habitat destruction, and global warming in turn will cause many species to go extinct, particularly in combination with habitat fragmentation and loss, because species just essentially have nowhere to go. They can't, you know, that the habitat is shifting and they can't move with it because there's too much fragmentation. So it's this synergistic effect, and they're, you know, our impacts have essentially gone global, and it's gonna take all of us to turn this around.
So what would you like to see coming out of this UN report? What action are you hoping people will take? Because, of course, a tremendous amount of work went into putting this report together. As we said, 3 years of work, 145 experts from 50 different countries. The report is publicly available. We will link to it from our website. How would you like people to take this report's findings and act on it?
Well, I think for individual people, they just need to let their representatives in Congress and the presidential candidates and whoever else that, you know, addressing climate change, addressing the extinction crisis, protecting nature is a high priority issue for them, and they want them to take action, because ultimately governments are where we can make a difference. These are systemic changes that need to be made, you know, and you know, to leave on a somewhat hopeful note, it's not that we haven't made any progress in this regard. You know, in the U.S., I think we're up to something like, I think it's around 12% of the landscape that's in protected areas. So we have protected places, and globally, we've, you know, the amount of protected area has gone up in recent decades. It's just that at the same time, our footprint has grown, and we're going to need to protect more places.
Give out a website, Noah, where people can find out more about the work that you do at the Center for Biological Diversity.
Yeah, it's biologicaldiversity.org.
And we'll link to that from our website later today. We'll also link to the UN report that we've just been discussing. Thank you so much for joining us, Noah.
Oh, thanks so much for covering this, Sonali, and good to talk.
Thanks so much. Noah Greenwald is director of the Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. And we've been discussing the new United Nations report on mass species extinction. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.